Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Well, welcome everybody to this Sunday night show, as always, from 9 till 10 p.m. if you're listening live. And as always, this is a guest call-in live program. The number to call if you want to be on the air is 646-564-9714. That's 646-564-9714. And if you want to be on the show, call toward the bottom of the hour so you and I can chat and sort of arrive at, hey, this is what we're going to talk about tonight and in the remaining segment of the program. But what I'd like to talk about, failing a mystery guest arriving, which will, you know, be cool, is what happened to me this week. And if that doesn't take up the hour, I have some other prepared topics to chat about. But I'd like to go back before the week and sort of talk about how I approached the week and what I was taking into the week as to how I would execute the week. And as medium or long-term listeners, you'll know that I'm unremittingly, unhesitatingly positive in that I've accepted the viewpoint that everything that comes to me is something that I want to have come to me, and that things that come to me are things that I need, and that's why they come to me. So the things that I need, the nutritional requirements of the next next building blocks of my life are the only things that my soul brings on the conveyor belt to me. So I am always in that mindset. I am never in the mindset of negativity, of and seeing an event and saying, oh my goodness, this is wrong for me. And what that allows me to do is it allows me to be positive in how I see things all the time. And so that's my general mindset. That's what I go, that's how I locomote, that's how I operate. Now, this isn't something that I've always had in my life. It is something that some deep examinations of myself and also some, at the time, horrendous events that happened to me and the boxes that I put myself into caused me to have to accept where I was, or basically my life would have been over at that point. And so I accepted this different way of operating, and that's one, so that's my general outlook. Now, my specific plan for this week was I was going to go to New York City to do some background acting on Monday, and I was going to try and experiment because I don't really want to spend a great amount of money in New York City, and I don't have any friends there yet to crash at, whose house I can crash at or whose apartment I can crash at for a few hours. So what I was going to try is I was going to try staying at a 24-hour gym for a few hours in the overnight, a gym that I have a membership at that basically allows you to spend time at a different, in a different city because you have this higher level membership. You can just walk into any franchise anywhere. And so that was my plan. And then I would, on Tuesday, there's a particular casting agency that would open some more doors to work in New York City, but they only allow you to register there if you're physically present. They don't allow you to register online. You need to actually present yourself and get your photo taken and, like, be pinchable in their sight so they know that you can report. You're, like, a real person. So basically Wednesday would be my produce club day, and then Thursday later in the day I had a plan where there was some local Philadelphia background acting work that I was going to take part in. So that's my plan. That was my plan for the week. And so the other thing is I was taking a recommendation and an interesting spin on getting back and forth to New York City, and a friend of mine who actually recommended that I get into background acting recommended that I take the bus because the bus is, frankly, it's cheaper. And instead of taking one train from Philadelphia to Trenton and another train from Trenton to New York City, you take one bus. And the issue is that the cost is like $25 or $26 for the train, but it's $10 for the bus. So I was interested in that. So I signed up to take a bus ride, and I got over to the bus ride in plenty of time, and the people, the other folks that I met at the bus were basically saying, it was interesting, I walked in and walked right over, and the first person I introduced myself to, a young lady, was sitting there, and I basically said, is this the area for New York City, or do you know where the New York City bus gets on? And she said, oh, I'm getting on that bus. And so is the woman across from me. So you're in the right place. So immediately a connection there. And so we're sitting there and she said, oh, the other buses are delayed 2 hours, but they haven't announced anything about the New York City bus. And it was, getting close to boarding. So I was thinking, oh, okay, they haven't announced anything wrong with the New York City bus, so I'm good. And she got up a few minutes later and walked over and was chatting with somebody, and she motioned for the rest of us to come over. And we trotted over there, and she's like, this is the line, we should be standing here to get ready to get on the bus. And about 15 minutes later, at approximately 8 a.m., when the bus is actually supposed to be boarding, the PA announcer comes on and says that the bus is delayed for 2 hours. Well, if I get on that bus, the bus would let off at the Port Authority in New York City and Manhattan at 10 after 10. I'd have plenty of time to get on the A train, get on the L train, get over to Brooklyn and get off and get to my appointment, which is at 11:30. But now they're telling me that the bus is delayed and I'm not going to be able to get up to my appointment in time. So that was, you know, okay, plan B. It happens that in Philadelphia, the Greyhound location is right across the street from the train station. So I went over and bought a ticket on the train. But unfortunately, the train, the next available train to Trenton, which would be my first stop, and then going from Trenton to Penn Station in New York City, was going to be a half an hour later. And so it was going to leave a half an hour later. So I would be sitting there for a half an hour and then get on that train. And so I quickly looked and see, okay, how quickly can I get back over to the other avenue to get up there, which would be the River Line, and where I was the correct place. Okay, so I'm locked into this. I know that I am most likely going to be late to my appointment. But it's not a negative. It is what is facing me, so I understand that it is the correct outcome regardless of what happens. So immediately I begin texting the emergency number for casting, saying, this is what has just happened to me. I'm going to be late. I will get there as soon as possible. I get a response from them saying, get here as soon as possible. Don't worry about it. Just make it here as soon as possible. And so I do that. And I make it up there. I get to the location. I walk in just as people are going into wardrobe. And I check in, and everything is good. And so I get in, and I work a full day. And we're getting out close to midnight. And people are being invited back for the next day's shoot, which is, you know, Tuesday, which is the next day. And I'm like, oh, great, that's interesting. Well, my original plan is to go to this other casting agency. Maybe $100 would speak more to my situation in quote unquote in real world. So I say, okay, let's take a try. And I text them and say, hey, I'm available tomorrow if you're interested. And I don't get a response immediately. And I asked some people there, hey, you know, am I going to get a response? And they say, hey, wait till tomorrow morning. Maybe they're not responding now, but maybe they'll respond in the morning. So, okay, that's the situation. You know, my real self, not my observant self, is a little bit like, oh, geez, you know, is my reputation damaged with these folks? You know, I got here late, but it was unavoidable. Am I going to get work from these folks again? But my more solid foundation is basically saying it is what it is. So I go to the gym location and sit down and, you know, have some food and clean myself up, you know, take a shower. And, you know, treat myself decently, and I stayed there for a good portion of the night, and then I left early in the morning and went to a Starbucks. And it was funny because it was Tuesday morning, and at the Starbucks, I actually crafted the emails that I usually send out to the Produce Club people, like what is available this week, and then got their orders back, but I wasn't in the Philadelphia area. I wasn't in the southern New Jersey area where I usually am to do this task. I was actually in New York City on 35th and 7th Avenue at a Starbucks. So that was another different perspective that I was actually conducting business, but I could have been anywhere. I could have been in China conducting business. So that was pretty interesting. And then I, you know, after a few hours there, I went to the casting agency and got registered there, and then went and got on the train and took the train from Penn Station to Trenton, and then the River Line from Trenton to my local area, and caught the high-speed line back and came home and ate a whole bunch and immediately went to sleep for, you know, 4 or 5 hours and woke up. It wasn't as if the trip was not taxing. The trip was taxing on me, and I realized that I would be pulling an all-nighter. I didn't know if I would be able to relax the whole time. It turned out that I was not able to relax. I was not able to feel, quote-unquote, safe enough to close my eyes and not continue to be vigilant. So basically, I was up for 2 days, and I got home here and basically slept as long as I could, and then got up and ate some more and literally went back to bed. So then Wednesday happened, and I believe I started to have interactions with a friend of mine in California, and I had been interacting with her for about 3 years. I first met her 3 years ago, and she was in a horrendous life situation. She had a really rock-solid, great boyfriend, but her apartment location, everyone there was abusive. Her personal self-image was really trashed. And I have this friend. Sure, it's an acquaintance. I didn't have that many friends. And I, you know, to this day, I really don't know why I continued to hang around with this person. Maybe it was because I just don't have that many people to talk to. And this is, you know, I can count people on like my hands that I actually interact with a lot. So it was really interesting to interact with her midweek and then on Thursday, because her life has changed a lot since I first met her. She moved from the abusive neighborhood that she was in. A lot. We were able to, myself and her boyfriend were able to move her through a lot of legal things that she had to go through. And I continue to talk to her, and she continues to read my articles. And she basically gotten to a point where she's going to the gym and she's working out, and she finally asked me for help on one of her hobbies, which is micro photography. She said, "Alan, I'm getting a lot of really positive results posting on Instagram, and I'm wondering if you can help me to help me get some additional expertise because I want to do better." And I was blown away because this is the first time she's asked me for like concrete help, concrete contacts. And it happens that my friend Valerie, who's helping me get into acting, is also a photographer. And I was like, right away, I was like, yes. And she, and the other thing that, because I had mentioned the acting, to as many people who are in similar situations or in just in general interest situations as myself, that I'm doing this acting. And she said, "I'd also like to get into the acting." And that's just a, basically my friend had popped, and she was past the self-destructive image that she had then, and she's basically ready to go. Right, she's a flower now, and she's ready to move on to the next stage of her life. And of course, I introduced her. I emailed, you know, an introduction email to herself and to my friend, who's the actress in the Philadelphia area. And unbeknownst to me, they got together and they're shooting emails back and forth, and they both have little dogs that they carry around with them everywhere, and they have a lot of other common things, and so the emails are flying over there. They're both eBay salespeople, so really a great little friendship has begun there. Hopefully it'll grow much larger. So the next day, I was at some background acting in the Philadelphia area, and it was interesting because I was still talking to my friend in California, who I just talked that, you know, summarized her pop situation. And then she let me know that she had actually written down what happened to her and her situation and how her mindset had changed on Yelp or something. And somebody had found her and was in a similar situation and had asked my friend in California for help, had asked if my friend in California would become her mentor. And I mean, the universe is such a joke artist, because at the production that I happened to be at, I was dressed up in a Roman Catholic cardinal's outfit. And here I was hearing that, quote unquote, my disciple had a next level down initiate. And I was standing in this cardinal's robe. It was so hilariously funny and so the moment was so poignant that I was just in awe of the timing and the humor and the dark humor of the situation. So how and now in basically getting out of the production that I was in and really appreciating, because on Monday the production that I was in was very low budget and there was very little communication between the direction, the production folks, and the audience that was there to create an atmosphere. And we were, it sort of showed, and there was very little communication about what the food was and how to treat each other, and it showed in the almost barbaric scene of people rushing out and getting the food that arrived. Half happened to be pizza, and some people were scarfing, like basically they took like three pieces of pizza, which is 3/8, almost a half a pie, and rushed over to their corner and you know, hunched over and were chomping on it, where folks who were actually on set, which is, you know, just in the other room, who didn't quite get the notice, walked out and there was basically nothing left for them. So it was contrasted with this production locally in the Philadelphia area, and I'm not saying other productions. I've been on other productions in New York City that were very, very quote-unquote professional or very much much more communication going on and much, quote-unquote, better handled. contrast this with going through hair and makeup on Thursday, getting dressed in this Roman Catholic uniform, and then immediately being thrust into the scene that's being shot, and the director coming over to me and asking my name, and then he remembered my name for the rest of the day, which was, he's basically remembering like 15 or 18 or 20 some number of names of people that he'd never met before. And then he said, start here. And he put me on my one mark. And then he said, you'll walk down the stairs and cross in front of the camera. And then he had me do that once. And he came back over to me and he said, I'd like you to change where you're walking. Because, of course, he's looking at the shot as it happens. And then I walk down the stairs and, across in front of the camera on a slightly different route. And he's happy with that. I don't hear from him again. And we take that. But immediately after that, I was standing in front of him sort of when he's looking, thinking about what the next scene is. And in my insides, I knew or I felt in my insides that I should be standing there to receive an opportunity, that I want to be standing in front of this person who's treating me so well. And he basically said, who's willing to come back on Tuesday and you'll be engaged in this activity in the next scene, and that means that you'll come back on Tuesday. Of course, my arm went up in a heartbeat. And he said, oh, Alan, here's what we would like you to do. And I was interacting with, a main focus of the next scene. So I was a main part of their production. And a lot of other people swung into that role and were main parts of the production. But to me, the value and the, I guess it was probably a different, because the other set was a crowd. There wasn't such direct interaction, but I felt so much more validated and so much more valued in the second situation. It was just a very, very deep contrast. So I'm really interested in how these things work. And I know that those who've been following me and listening to my programs understand that when I have something, quote unquote, that's looked at by the society as being negative, I know I need it. But as you will have heard in the last half an hour me talking about the circumstances, I sometimes lapse into old think where I'm saying, well, I didn't really like how I was treated there, whereas I needed to be treated that way, and that's part of the game, to see the spectrum of all the different circumstances where you could be treated one way and treated another way. So there were two folks who called in at the top of the hour, and if you want to call back and get on the second half of the show, the second segment, you're welcome to call back. There'll be about an 8-minute break right now. And I'd like to play Darv the Bard, Green and Gray. See you after the break. Thank you.
the 1st of May. A man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day. High from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm fallen.
I'm green and gray. tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha De Yah, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to An Emerging Forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, welcome back, everyone. And this is a part where I hope you, that anyone out there who's interested in, can jump in. The number again is 646-564-9714. I would like a few minutes to speak with you. So the most opportune time to call in if you want to be on the radio show is to call in just at the beginning of the break, or actually to email me at RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. And we can connect and talk about what do you want to talk about and prepare the program beforehand. So, and I'm willing to talk to anyone of any persuasion who wants to talk about their thing, because I want to talk about your thing as long as it's something reasonable to talk about on the airwaves, because I'm interested in everything and I'm interested in people who are interested enough to talk on my program. So this last week was something that was pretty challenging to me, and I did put some challenges out in front of me, and it was putting challenges out in front of me, which was pulling it on there being an unfamiliar city, the Big Apple, in an unfamiliar circumstance, seeing if what I felt I could do would actually come out and I could be able to do it. And it was also reaping the rewards, or reaping sort of a sign of movement in another person's situation who I had directly affected. Of course, they're doing their own internal process, but I had given them some different perspective mathematics to overlay in their life and to be I'm pleased that the result happened the way it did. I was never sure that I was going to get a result, and I was never sure that this would happen, but it seems to have happened, and this person in California's life seems to have changed a lot, and I seem to have been one of the people who has, it's not helped. She was ready for it, so she took it up, so she went and found it, and it's not, I'm just basically like a can of paint she put on her wall, and now she appreciates the new color. So I don't put myself out there as being some resource that's great and I'm fantastic and all these other things. There's many other ways to get the resource that I have. You can go to, you know, any one of the positive thinking coaches you want to go to. She happened to find me and we happened to click, and she happens to have shed her old coping mechanism in favor of the coping mechanism that we chatted about for many, many hours over the phone. So I was thinking during the break about how do you get to new areas of your adventure? And sort of how big is your universe? And how big is the universe that's, quite frankly, advertised to everyone in the mass as being in existence? And it's so much smaller, and it's so mundane compared to the real universe. The advertised universe has everybody getting up at a certain hour and going to bed at a certain hour and watching certain movies and going through a certain pattern of life. And that's fine if that's where your life is. But I guess I'm not interested in that, or I've done that and I'm not interested in it, and I probably have never been interested in it. And it's taken me till I'm 56 years old to actually start being conscious and operating and saying, okay, Alan, you better not talk about your life to people who don't appreciate what you're doing. They're going to be saying, why are you doing this thing? And you shouldn't really be doing this, because where I feel that my life is beyond the comfort zone of any person, because I'm not interested in anything within the comfort zone. And I'm not speaking like a physical exertion. I'm speaking of a mental perception of how you should lead your life, and a mental perception of what the space is that we're in, not necessarily, oh, here's the United States and here's China, but even a mental perception of, we're taught that the mental perception of that this land mass is all that exists because it fills the full globe. Well, if the land masses aren't on a globe but are surrounded by a wall of ice on a flat plane, this is an example of like the symbol that appears on the United Nations emblem, just as a wild-ass guess, a wag at the situation. What if it's like that? And what if we're only being shown a really, really small circle compared to all of the rest of it, all of the rest of the plane? What if it all exists on a plane, and here we are in this little micro dot circle, but there's so much more out there? That's a physical assessment, but it's an assessment of your mental perception. So your mental perception can take leaps and bounds beyond what you might not be able to physically go beyond the walls of this Antarctic wall. You might not physically be able to go beyond that. But you can mentally go beyond the status quo by questioning reality and questioning yourself. And trying to find something. And I'm actually going to take a short break and talk to a caller, and I'll be right back.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be. There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Thanks, everyone, for giving me a couple minutes to talk to a caller. He and I will coordinate, and he'll be on a future show. But I had callers that I needed to interact with, and I didn't quite know how to interact with them. So I hope you'll give me the space to grow. It's a very new experience for me. So, as always, we're sort of in this physical reality, and we're taught how to interpret this physical reality, and then our perceptions might change, or we might receive different information, and it's only because our soul wants to have that different perception and wants to move beyond the quote-unquote mainstream perspective. And when you're challenged to do that, it's time to move. It's time to go. And you might not go, but you'll be challenged again and challenged repeatedly until maybe there'll be a forceful situation in which you're ejected from your old life. There certainly was a forceful ejection in my life where I was ejected from how I used to live my life, and now I'm living how I live my life now. And I would say that maybe the forceful ejection in my life is continuing. That's an idea, that it hasn't completed itself, but it just continues. So that's an interesting idea, that you're on this trajectory of being ejected from your old life, and maybe the trajectory, the life movement jets, or whatever you want to call it, are moving you across space, and maybe they change their angle, and you keep moving through ideas, and because there's a destination, there's a place where you need to be. And this all gets into the signs of growth and what happens in your life when you're in growth. And when you're in growth, there's going to be pain, and there's going to be a change of scenery, change of social scenery, change of mental scenery. And to be able to accept your issues and to be able to say, this means I'm moving. And also to be able to look at your body and say, I have a body now, and because I've been in the human experience before, I had a body when I was in the human experience. And the body is not the residence of your recorder, in my perspective. It's not the residence of your soul. And so what I would say is, the body is actually a resource that you can use. Now, lots of people aren't going to like to hear this. They want to treat the body in a perfect fashion, and they want it to last forever. But for everyone that I know, I'm not saying that doesn't exist, for everyone that I know, they use their body up, and then they move on. Now, do they move on because they have an appointment to keep in another existence? I think they do. Because they certainly wouldn't move on if they needed to keep that body. They would stay in that body because the soul would basically say, regardless of what everybody else thinks about the weirdness of this 400-year-old man that continues to be alive in perfect health, we're going to stay here and we're going to be in this body. But that's not what seems to be happening. People move on after, you know, less than 100 years or 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. People move on to a new existence. So this week has been about challenges. It's been about me examining how I should react to certain circumstances and trying to react in the present in a positive mode, and then after reviewing the circumstance to react in a, continue to react in a positive mode. So as far as arriving late on set on Monday, I went after the fact to Greyhound and explained to them the situation, and they refunded my money. Now, I might not be able to defend my reputation with that casting agency, but I'm going to scan my receipt, which means Greyhound takes responsibility for not having delivered to me the service that I was supposed to receive, and I'm going to craft a very nice email saying, "Hi, guys, I might be in the doghouse with you guys permanently, but I just want to show you that, in fact, the circumstance that I was telling you about, the bus was canceled. Here's my refund on that service." It might not come up as a positive outcome, but it does come up as a, I've tried my best to defend my reputation. So, as always, I really encourage everyone to explore the edges of their existence, to explore new things, to explore your passion, to be in your passion, and to do things that are uncomfortable, not do things that risk your life. For the most part, please don't do that. I don't advocate that you do that. To go to your edges and to say, okay, I'm pretty sure that I can handle this, but it's going to push me, and be pushed. Because if you're out there exploring your edges and you're out there doing your edge work, you're not going to receive the universe's boot in your butt. Or if you're not doing that and it's time for you to go, you will receive that boot. I know, because now I actively explore my edges, but I was a salaryman and I got the boot because it was time for me to go. So my email address for contacts, if you want to be on my show, is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. My last name, Ritter, ALAN88@gmail.com. I run a small produce business in the southeastern Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey area. And if you're in that area and want to receive service, the place to go for that is produceclub.us, which will take you to a Facebook page. Or if you don't want to go there, just email me and we'll figure out how to get you service. I'm really interested in helping people to get access to and to eat more whole plants, because the human physiological function is much better and longer lasting. You'll notice that I didn't say right or healthy, because your existence as you are right now down the path that you're going is the health that you need. It is the experience that you need. But if you're interested in eating more whole plants, and you are in a somewhat major metropolitan area, email me and I'll help you do the research to find out where your local wholesalers are. Or go on to your search engine and type in your city name and wholesale produce and find out where they are and call them up and get their price lists and ask them if they sell seconds. And what do I mean by seconds? Well, they get what they call firsts in, which they sell by the case. Be prepared to buy cases and be prepared to pay in cash. Now, they get these cases in, and these cases are 40 pounds of sweet potatoes, 100 apples, and you need to be able to buy those, so you need to be able to band together with four or five of your neighbors or buy something that's longer lasting, like sweet potatoes, and, you know, eat them yourselves because they'll last for 4 or 5 weeks. Find that wholesaler or have me help you find that wholesaler, and you will save so much money because not only do they sell the firsts, but if they've sold 95% of a 100 pallet load and they have an odd lot left, they need to move that. Or if something is dated and the date's coming due, they need to move that and they're going to sell it for cents on the dollar. They're going to take a box of organic sweet potatoes that they would normally sell at $36 and they're going to mark it down to $5 and they're going to get it out the door, because that's what they need to do at that particular time of the week. So you can first take $120 Whole Foods case of sweet potatoes and bring that cost down to $36. That's a factor of three. But then you can play the market and you can find those seconds and you can eat really well. You can eat a lot more whole plants. And if you go to YouTube and you type in Michael Greger, Greger, How Not to Die, his little seminar that he gives every year, he will basically cite you chapter and verse of clinical trials and clinical results in the Medical Leap, where it shows you that even eating a diet of more conventional sprayed, nasty, whatever you want to call it, produce, has much, much better human physiological results than does eating processed food, A, or animal products, B, or basically junk food, C. So please take advantage of the resources that are in your area to save you money, to eat better. Get out there, explore your passion, reap the rewards, be a larger person, see more, experience more. So have a great week, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.